Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new
experience.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I am smiling from ear to ear. I am just feeling so. I'm a cup running over. I have so much to share. Last week, I had a lot of comments. Our topic was elevating beyond thoughts. And we're going to tie this topic today about the beginning, in the beginning, the ego, the evolution of the ego. But before we do all of that, let me introduce myself, because we do have new people, new listeners all the time. I don't know how you people find me. I really, really don't. But thank you for listening, and I am Rebecca L. Norrington. I am the world's happiness specialist, and what that means is, when I was younger, I wanted the same two things. I wanted to live to my potential, and I wanted to be happy. And so this desire, intention, agenda, asking the questions, how can I be happy? Can happiness sustain itself? How can I stay happy? What happens when life hits me with the storms of ups and downs? You know how life hits us. You know that there's no smooth sailing here. You know that there's always a curveball. Speaking about curveballs, oh, I'm really loving those baseball playoffs. I don't like baseball, but I love the playoffs, and now we're coming into the World Series. So shout out to all those teams. There's two teams that are underdogs. So shout out to the Washington Nationals, and shout out to the Yankees. Both of them are underdogs, and both of them won. Okay, I really digress. Happiness specialist. Before I go into our topic of the evolution of the ego, let me just define happiness. Happiness is feeling at peace, being at peace, regardless of what happens to you and regardless of what doesn't happen. Happiness is a state of peace. Living in a state of peace, having peace as your identity. Happiness is being at peace with life and with self. Any of those definitions resonate with you? So all it is just learning how to remain, be peaceful. Now, the problem comes from the programming, because the programming teaches us the opposite. The programming teaches us to react to life's challenges, react to life's circumstances, react to people. It's somebody else's fault why I'm feeling this way. But on Reality Spirituality, I'm here to share the bad news that no, it's your responsibility. You have all the power. You have all the power. And what do we do now that we can't blame? What happened? Okay, we're still here. Let's see, a little technical there. I got a little blip on the screen. Okay, so let's really get in. Okay, so I did the definition of happiness, the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. And the other very important concept and very important truth is that happiness is a practiced skill. It's not anything you grow into. It is a skill that you practice, and there are so many components and so many things to practice. Not only are there new and different behaviors to practice, but there's also behaviors and thoughts that we recognize now and eliminate. I'll give you a perfect example. Blaming somebody else for you not feeling good or you not being happy, blaming someone else. We were all programmed to blame someone else, especially if that person was close to us, right? Especially if they're in the family or maybe they're your partner or significant other, right? Oh, it's got to be them. They did stuff. They didn't fill in the blank. No, I'm turn off the TVs, change the channel right now because your happiness has nothing to do with anyone else, what they do, how they do it, whether they even acknowledge you or not. I know we're starting off a little bumpy, but it gets better. It really, really does. Because once you have the power, once you realize how powerful you are, you can make different choices in any moment that is going to either bring you more peace or more drama. The more you practice with this self, knowing that you have the power, you have the power so much more than you ever possibly knew, to change your energy, to change your vibration in an instant, in a second. And you do have that ability because if you notice, sometimes when you hear certain news, ooh, you get happy. And sometimes when you hear other news, you go in the opposite direction. So if external circumstances can cause you to feel a certain way in any particular moment, you're here, you've come to the right place, baby. You've come to the right place. Because it's getting a sense of, okay, you hear the news, but that news, whatever it is, you are still grounded, you are still rooted in peace. And that is the practice of staying rooted and grounded in peace at all times, in every single moment. Before I go on with today's lesson, before I go on with today's show, I want to let you know that we're going to be starting up retreats soon, invitation-only retreats. And if you'd like some information on that, just email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Also, I'm available for workshops, seminars. Just email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Yeah, it's ramping up. We're getting it. We're starting to get dates, and I will get dates of appearances, and I will let you know when all that stuff firms up, whenever it happens. So let's get down to it. But, you know, before I do, I want to share something with you, and I've shared it before, but it's been a long time. There is a woman. Her name is Bonnie Ware, and you can look it up. She's a nurse. And she was a hospice nurse, and for years I'm just trying to remember the story, but the story is she started journaling and asking her patients. I'm talking about the last weeks, maybe weeks of someone's life. What are your regrets? Can you imagine asking somebody that is dying, they know that they're going to be dying, and then you ask them, what do they have any regrets in life? Do you know what a powerful question that is and what powerful answers those are? Well, if you want to read the whole article, let's see, her name is Bonnie Ware, an Australian nurse and counselor. and she worked in hospice taking care of the terminally ill people, most of whom had less than 12 weeks to live. So she lists the five most regrets of the dying. And guess what one of the regrets is? One of the regrets is, I wish I had let myself be happier. Many of her patients didn't realize until the end of their lives that happiness was a choice, and they wish they would have known that happiness was a choice, and it just wasn't anything that had to be chased or acquired. You can read the whole article, but it is fascinating to me, and it is just evidence of this search, this searching for happiness, this searching to feel good. When I say happiness, I'm talking about an inner peace, the search for peace. Who, when you ask them, especially the people in the United States, you ask them, what do you want? And of course, it's, oh, I want $1 million, but they want to be happy. Because you look at all the, you look at the people and you hear interviews, I just want to be happy. The songs are about being happy. The movies, being happy, happily ever after. But the problem comes from you cannot be happy. You cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. So it is about the journey. And the and as we talked about last week, about rising above the thoughts. Okay. Someone asked me, because I teach classes on the truth about happiness, and someone asked me in this new class that has just started, question that I've never been asked before. I mean, I've thought about the question, but I've never been asked before as a teacher from a student. And it caused me to pause because I didn't really have an automatic answer. I knew the answer, but I didn't have it all wrapped up and tied with a bow. And I needed help with this. Where does the programming come from? What is the programming? But before we get to that answer, I want to share something that when you find yourself in any situation, it doesn't matter the circumstances, and you're not feeling good, you're feeling something's wrong, something's off, you're angry, you're upset, you're bothered, you're annoyed, whatever it is, when you find yourself in those circumstances, or maybe you're sad. Maybe you're sad. Maybe you're the word depressed, whatever it is, I like to say conscious depression. Know that nothing has to change with your circumstances, in your circumstances, for you to feel better, for you to feel different. All it is a shift, is practicing a shift in changing your perspective. And I give this example when I first moved to Oregon. Well, gee, when I first visited this town, and it's a very, very small town, so small, 20,000 people here, very small. And I remember the first time I saw it. I remember the word, I said three, wait, hold on a second, let me count my words that I said. Okay, four words, well, maybe five, but you know, with a little apostrophe. I remember thinking, This place is a dump. That's five words. Five words. This place is a dump because it is a small town and it doesn't have all the new, modern, from the restaurants to things that are in the groceries. If I really want a taste of a big town, I've got to drive an hour. But guess what happened after a little over 2 years living in this small town? That description of this place is a dump is no longer the description. When I say changing perspectives, it is a practice. How often do you change your perspective, especially a perspective that isn't serving you and a perspective that is making you feel bad? Change the perspective. Oh, it's easy for you to say, Rebecca. Well, yes, it is because of the practice. But let me get to today's topic. And today's topic is, hold on a second. I know today's topic. And today's topic is the evolution of the ego. When I say that the programming is the cause of all of the unrest in this world, it is the programming, because we were all clean slates coming out. We all were clean slates. We didn't have the programming of blaming or having expectations or having judgments. So knowing that you were, you were a clean slate, but let's talk about the evolution of the ego itself. One of the things that I want to ask these questions, let me ask these questions first. You can write them down or not, because I'm going to go into the programming, really, really putting a spotlight and a spotlight on the programming. I was asked, where did the programming come from? Who programmed us? Here we go. There are two important dates in our lives. Talked about it before. It's our birth date, and of course the day we breathe our last breath. And everything in between is a story 98% of the time created by the ego. 98% of the time is a programmed story. All of the stuff in between. And I'm speaking for myself. The more I really started practicing, the more I started practicing and trusting this and knowing this, I know it's a story. I know that I can come up with some very, very focused story, looking at it with one perspective, my perspective, how it affects me, how I interpret the events that happen, but also know that it is just a story created by the ego. Anything created by the ego, anything is going to cut into and subtract from my peace and or my happiness. Anything created by the ego, but it is a tricky, that ego is tricky, because it will disguise itself as doing good. It will disguise itself as doing good. Let me share something with you. It's programming. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I would like you, just you could get a pen and paper, if you like. What were you programmed to believe about life? What were you programmed to believe about marriage? What were you programmed to believe about being a husband or having a husband? And what were you programmed to believe about being and or having a wife? What were you programmed to believe about having friends? What were you programmed to believe? What is the role of a friend? What is the role of a friend? That's a program. What are the duties of a friend? Hold on, I'm going to my second page of questions. Here's a good one. What were you programmed to believe about having children? What are you programmed to believe about children? What are you programmed to believe about people with addictions? And when I say people with addictions, I'm not just talking about alcohol, drugs, shopping, gambling, overeating. I'm not talking about those addictions. I'm talking about the addictions or the excessive habits of needing to be right, controlling, complaining, fear, being a victim, feeling negative, anger, drama. You know, there is an addiction to drama. There is an addiction to worrying. There is addiction to criticizing and judging others. Those are addictions. Addictions, habits. Obsessive habits. Habits that that aren't serving you. How's that? Habits that don't serve you. I mean, if it's serving you, hey, more power to you. But I'm telling you right here, if you're judging, if you're criticizing, if you're blaming, if you have a need to be right, if you're trying to control anything or anyone outside of self, you are subtracting from your peace. You are subtracting from your happiness. It's all been proven, folks. It's all been proven. What were you programmed to believe about people with money, wealthy people, rich people? What were you programmed to believe about people, rappers? What were you programmed to believe about parents, being a parent? So let's take a look at that and answer any of those questions. Where does the programming start? When I said I wanted to answer that question, I really, someone told me a long time ago about pulling things. Rebecca, did you just pull that out of your ass? No, if you logically think about it, man is still evolving. This prototype that we are right now is still evolving. We're still prehistoric because I know we're getting to a place where words are going to be maybe, who knows, not even necessary, because there is an energetic way to communicate with people. I'm just putting it out there. But I do know that we are still a prototype of an evolved human being. We're still evolving. And let me just share this. Hold on. And I'm going to go with my number one go-to guy, which is David Hawkins, MD, and in his book, The Eye of the Eye, From Which Nothing is Hidden, he really breaks down and writes about the beginning of the evolution of the ego. It's the ego that is creating and coming up with all of these stories. And when you know the genesis of your suffering, it's the stories that the ego is creating. Whatever the story is, it's a story. And now you have to question, is it really true? Now, I know it feels true. I know it feels true, my dear audience. But is it really true? And David Hawking says, and this is on, let's see, The Eye of the Eye, from which I'm reading now, The Eye of the Eye, From Which Nothing is Hidden. He writes, the basic problem with humanity is that the human mind is incapable of discerning truth from falsehood. Now, I know it feels like it's true. I'll give you another example of even me living here, even moving. People ask me all the time, why did you move here? Why did you move to this small town? Well, the reason could be, well, it's because of the house. It's because there's not a lot of people here. It's because of clean air, less traffic. But that's the story. See, that's the story I would tell anyone. But the truth is, the real reason why I'm here, I know why I'm here. I'm here to get to grow. To the universe is stretching me so much here. I'm in concentrated growth mode. I've been growing every single day. There's something else to tackle, to look at, to practice. There are things that I practice in Oregon that I didn't even need to practice in California. But in Oregon, the biggest practice in Oregon is that of acceptance of people that are hunters. Boy, oh boy, if you were a hunter, trust me, you were on the list of the people that were the people that the scum of the earth. But I don't believe that anymore. That's not my perspective anymore. Not only is there an acceptance of hunters, but there are a lot of people that I've learned to, not learned to, but I've had acquaintances with that I really, 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 really like. And their reasons for hunting are unique for them. And they get, and so the, I know I'm going around, but the thing is, that's one thing. Staying out of everybody else's business is going to bring you peace. But let's get back to this evolution of the ego. Okay, so we already have the theory, not a theory, that the truth of people, because isn't that true? The only reason why you're, especially let's go to people with causes, the reason why you're bothered by causes is because you think that there's something wrong. There's something wrong with people wearing fur. I'm not saying there's something wrong with it or there's something right with it, but the people that don't want other people to wear fur because they think there's something wrong with it, right? So it's those beliefs. It's those beliefs. It's those perspectives. And when you see something, somebody wearing fur, that bothers you because now you go into the animals are tortured and all of that, and there's something wrong with that. So anyway, let's get back to the evolution of the ego. Let's see. How did he break this down? It's so perfect. Okay, here we go. And I'm reading now. All this sums up is how a person feels from moment to moment. So people can either see themselves as being victims of their stream of consciousness, victims of their circumstances, or they can see themselves rising above, not being affected by, witnessing the circumstances. That was me talking. Again, David Hawking says, by self-examination, the same as self-aware, looking into the mirror, it's on you, you're the one with the power. By self-examination and inward focus, one can discover that all states of consciousness are the results of execution of an option. You have options in every single moment. You have more than one option. You have so many options, countless options of how to react, how to respond, how to feel, all of it. But usually the suffering comes from thinking that or believing that you only have one option. There are so many different options. The mind or the ego is like the television set. So there's so many channels you can watch, but it's up to you to choose which channel you want to watch. There is a variety of shows. There is a variety from Westerns to the news to sports to music, nature. So you have the power, you have the choice of which show, which focus you want to choose. Let's really get down to the ego and the makeup of the ego. Hold on a second. I have to find it exactly how he wrote it because this is so, so interesting. Okay, one of the things that he says is a person is not forced to feel resentment by a negative memory, nor does a person have to buy into a fearful thought about the future. These are only options. Now let's talk about the ego and its evolution. Here we go. David Hawking says that a normal state of consciousness is one that is free of all negativity and instead filled with joy. Anything else is based on an illusion and perception distortions. Just because disease and depression and sadness and anger prevails in a society does not mean that this is a normal condition. He says, David Hawking says, that it's discovered that 78% of the world's population is actually disturbed. Woo! And what he means by that is because you're just buying into the programming. Hold on a second. I have to get to the part where he really breaks down the beginning of the ego. Okay, here we go. Here it is. Here it is. Thank goodness. So David Hawking is talking about the origination of the ego. Okay, on the surface it seems that 78% of the data. Okay. Here we go. The human brain is already genetically defective to begin with. Over one-third of the population has a brain that does not even supply enough neurotransmitter serotonin to keep the individual from being depressed. Okay, he's talking about a lack of serotonin. Okay, hold on a second. Let me get to this. Okay, here we go. The capacity for reason itself cannot be completely destroyed in an instant The capacity for reason itself can be completely destroyed in an instant by an uncontrollable burst of emotion. That's a real big one. I'm going to read that again. The capacity for reason. You know, what he's saying is the ability from going from zero to having a temper tantrum, from zero to getting angry. The capacity for reason can be completely destroyed in an instant by an uncontrollable burst of emotion. Rationality is further undermined by the biological fact that an old reptile, now we're talking about the reptile brain, our brain, is still anatomically and functionally present. And it instinctively strengthens predatory tendencies and aggression. Blah, 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 blah. Hold on. I know I'm reading. Because he explained it so perfectly. All the instincts of the animal persist and the influence of the animal dominate, even our behavior and our feeling. The emotions of the animal are ever present and close to the surface. These tendencies themselves are vulnerable to training and manipulation by society and the programming propaganda. Man, therefore, starts off with a biologically defective brain with instincts of the animal, and his intelligence and information are then systematically downgraded and programmed with data that is inaccurate, false, destructive, negative, damaging, and that happens at least 78% of the time. That's really huge. Man starts off with a biologically defective brain with instincts of an animal, and his consciousness are then systematically downgraded and programmed with data that is inaccurate, false, destructive, negative, damaging at least 78% of the time. Thank you for hanging in there with me. What I'm doing when I'm reading is, I mean, I'm not a scientist. I'm not up here coming up with how does the brain evolve. But when you think about it using common sense, of course we started off as a caveman with the one agenda is to stay safe, and the other one is to gather food. So we're staying safe and we're food gatherers. But then the evolution of the ego got into, well, now I'm noticing what you're doing, noticing what you back and forth, and just now the ego starts to become, now the ego starts to evolve, and guess what? It's no longer serving us. In fact, it's gotten to a point, it's so powerful in its grip, and our beliefs, it's so ingrained, but it's not serving us. And if it's not serving you, the ego's not serving you. And you know how it's not serving you? You know how it's not serving you? Because you feel bad. Because you don't feel good. When you go to the universe for any answers, You're not going to feel bad about any answers that you're given. Never. The universe is not in the business to make you feel bad. The universe is all-encompassing, all-enclosing, all-embracing, unconditional love and acceptance for you. The sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. The universe is all-loving, all-unconditional love. Anybody that has experienced, and you know what I'm talking about, that experience, when you leave your body, all they come back and talk about is the feeling that all they felt was love. You've heard those stories, all of it. I felt this overwhelming and overwhelmingness of acceptance and love and light and glow and lightness and all of that. You've heard the stories. That's universal. You know that's the universe. All this other shit isn't. All this other stuff is the programming. So it's not your fault. It's not my fault. It's the battle against the programming. And what is the programming? How do we even know what the programming is? Oh, gee, here we go. Well, you know it's a program where everybody's thinking the same thing. Holidays is a perfect example. I don't know about you. We're coming up to the holiday season. Everybody's doing the same thing. Not everybody does the same thing, but the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, your family. You know why people get depressed around the holiday season? It's because they're programmed to believe that they're supposed to be around a lot of people having fun because of all the expectations of the holidays and the holiday seasons that don't come to pass because all the expectations, you know, all expectations subtract from happiness. It's all of the letdown expectations. Not to mention, you know what's really funny is when I'm during the holidays, if I tell anybody, because people always ask, there's a programming, what are you going to do for the holidays? Are you going to go for the home for the holidays? Does your son come to visit for the holidays? All programmed questions. When I tell people, and this is so bad, I do this on purpose. It's horrible. When I tell, they ask me, what are you doing for the holidays? And I say, nothing, I'm spending it alone. they're not everyone. I'm not saying everybody, but 98% of the population, they feel sorry for me. Oh, you're going to be by yourself. Would you like to come to dinner? No. So the programming, there's so much programming with holidays. What about the definition of success? That's a big one. Oh, that's a big one. How does America define success? I don't know the world, but I definitely know America. How does America define success? And America defines success as someone who has a lot of money, a lot of titles, can do what has the freedom of going all over the world, can do whatever they want, make their own decisions, boss, 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 bossed up, bossed up, bossed up. They're success. And I'm here to tell you that definition of success, okay, that's a program definition of success. My definition of success is to be able to be on my deathbed and I'm smiling. I'm smiling on my deathbed. Every moment that I can look back on, I know that I had a choice of either choosing peace or drama. Every moment I know that I'm conscious enough and I have practiced choosing peace long enough to know that at the end of it, I'm going to be peaceful too. Because I am, my identity is peace. And what I'm teaching my son is going to be peaceful too. So, yeah, my definition of success is to be at peace in any moment that I experience. My definition of success is to blindly trust in every moment. My definition of success is to accept every moment without judgment. What is the program definition of success? It's So the evolution of the ego and that in that program definition of success, where the money and the things and the people and the titles and all of that, that's all ego. That's all this. That's all it. Great evolution of the ego story. That's a success. And the, haven't you noticed that people get off when the script is switched? There's a lot of, well, that's new. I've never heard of that before. Never experienced that before. What happened? Oh. Okay, let's see. There was an interview, and two people were asked their opinion. Someone had been shot, and somebody asked for their opinion about forgiveness. And one person said, I'll never forgive them. They took an innocent boy's life. Forgiveness. And then another person said, well, come on. Now we have a chance to practice forgiveness. And that comment about practicing forgiveness in the same sense of a young person was shot unjustly. There's another program word that was unjust. And I'm here to tell you the universe looks at it as all circumstances, all things that happen have a meaning and an order and have something good that's going to come out of it. I know even if it feels and looks horrible, even if a youngster is, I know. But there is an order to this universe, and do you trust the order? Either you trust the order of the universe, the unfolding of the universe, or you don't. You sometimes trust it means you don't. The evolution of the ego. The ego has many, listen, we're coming up to Halloween right now. I'm telling you, the ego has as many costumes that you could purchase for Halloween. The ego is full of tricks. The ego is full of disguises. The ego will come at you and it will pretend that, oh, this is a good thing. Do this. Oh, you're doing good, Rebecca. No, I recognize the ego all the time. And you know how I recognize it? Because it's a story. Because it's more than one word, two words, three words. Joy, acceptance, trust. Allowing, letting go, non-judgmental. The words string together to form a sentence. See, my words are just one word. They're bullets. Anytime you get beyond a bullet, you know that it's the ego. You know that it's the ego putting together a story. And all I'm here is to tell you that the story about the reason why somebody's subtracting from your happiness, oh, it's your sister, oh, it's your brother. No, that's a story. Oh, it's time to go back to the mirror and let's start practicing acceptance of yourself and acceptance of others. Then you won't have a story. Acceptance of self, acceptance of other eliminates stories, all stories. Lack of expectations, practice having no expectations, there's no more stories. No blaming anybody else for how you're feeling, guess what? There's no more stories that they did or did not do something to you. Now, we're coming to a place where we're going to start streamlining the stuff, people. Start getting rid of things. You know, feng shui, get rid of. I told you last week, well, the last month I got rid of 320 items. I got rid of 10 items a day for 32 days. 320 items. Let's start streamlining this stuff. Got to travel light. Let's let go of those stories. The evolution of the ego. How do you recognize the ego? By the story it tells you. You could even have a great story about someone. Oh, it's such a heartwarming story. Oh, heartfelt. It's still a story, everyone. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. My Instagram is Reality Spirituality. I have a few videos on YouTube. Yes, 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 yes. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And my second book, Program for Unhappiness, is being penned at this moment. We are making progress with that. Slow but steady. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. Have a conscious week. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's the newest spirit.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality Spirituality.
Time to get some answers, baby.
Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real. Spirituality.
Yeah, time to get down.
Reality.